Hashem Sefosai Tiftach. Okay, we're up to the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei. We're now beginning the Shemoneh Esrei, and we're coming to Hashem Sefosai Tiftach Ufi Ageti Lasecha. What is Hashem, what is this part of the davening all about? This chelik of the davening. Why do we say Hashem Sefosai Tiftach Ufi Ageti Lasecha? Well, obviously it's a prayer before the prayer. Or being misfalo that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you need to pray. Okay, it's a very interesting concept. To be misfalo. To have the opportunity. There's a parallel to this. We pray, and we give thanks for having the ability to give thanks. The din modim derabanan, when the shliach tzibur recites the Shemoneh Esrei, and he comes to the modim derabanan, modim. So everyone responds with the modim derabanan. At the end of the modim derabanan, we say al sha'anachnu modim lach. Those are the last words of the modim derabanan, the modim that the people in the tzibur say when they come to the end of the modim. Al shanachnu modim loch, and that goes back on the words modim. Modim anachnu loch. What are we modim? A long list of things, and one of the things that we are modim anachnu loch is al shanachnu modim loch. We thank you for having the ability to thank you. The same way we do that at the end of the Shemoneh Esrei, not the very, very end, but towards the end. We also do something very similar when we begin the Shemoneh Esrei. We pray to Hashem Sefosai Tiftach. We pray that we should be able to pray. So it's a unique principle of in the Koyach HaTefillah, praying that we should be able to pray. Okay, now let's talk about another concept. We say the words Hashem Sefosai Tiftach Ufi Ageti Lasecha. Who was the first person to recite? Hashem Sefosai Tiftach Ufi Ageti Lasecha. It was David. Chazal tell us that it was David HaMelech who used these words to pray to Hashem that Hashem should forgive him for the chait of Bas Sheva. David saw this woman on the roof bathing, and David was overcome with a desire to be with her. And David then went and he lived with her, and she became pregnant. And problem was, she was a married woman. She was an Ashes. Well, I shouldn't say this. Not really. So kol imer David chata in elatoya. It's not so clear what that means. And David wanted to know who was this woman's husband. It was Uriah Hachiti. Uriah was a soldier on the front line, and David called him back. And David then, he spoke with him. And Uriah Hachiti was disrespectful to David. So David sent him to the front lines. And he was killed. Okay, it's a little bit strange. But Chazal tell us, they warn us, don't make any big assumptions here. If someone says David sinned, he's making a mistake. Okay, it's not so simple what happened. And we know that David, for the rest of his life, did teshuvah for this. And when David did teshuvah, he opened up his prayer, Chazal tell us, with the words, Hashem Sefosai Tiftach Ufi Ageti Lasecha. So David was the first person to use this expression. Why did David use this expression? So Chazal tell us, because David, everything over here is not mine, everything over here is a mine of Chazal, is because David knew that for this you cannot bring a korban. In those days, in ancient times, when a person did an avera, what do? You bring a korban. We really have no clue, no understanding of what it means to bring a korban. You bring a korban. It was a very elaborate procedure, and it had a major impact upon the person when he brought a korban to atone for his sins. David realize that there's no carbon to bring. The only time a person brings a carbon is when he does an avera b'shoigeg, by accident. A person does an avera b'mezid, then you don't have an opportunity to bring a carbon. There's no such thing. So being that David realized that there's no possibility for him to bring a carbon, the only way he can achieve atonement is by being mispalel to Hashem. And so he did. He was mispalel. And that's why David opened up his prayer, Hashem, sefasai tiftach, open my lips, ufi yagiti losecha, because it's all I got. Because ordinarily when you do an Avera, you don't have to daven. You don't have to daven. It doesn't say you don't have to daven. You come to the Beis HaMikdash and you bring a sacrifice. And the offering of the sacrifice is what brings atonement and brings fulfillment. But being that this Avera is a type of an Avera for which there is no sacrifice, it was done b'mezid. It was done with intent. It was not done inadvertently. There's no possibility to bring a carbon. So the only solution David had to achieve atonement was to pray, was to be mispalel. And he opened up that prayer with Hashem sefasai tiftach ufi yagiti losecha. So this is a very powerful vart now. This is not my vart. This is what the Mefarshim say. That's exactly the reason why we say Hashem sefasai tiftach ufi yagiti losecha when we daven. What do we mean? Because we all know that the reason why we daven the three prayers every day is corresponding to the Tamid Shel Shachar, the Tamid Shel Ben Harboyim, and the Tmidim, and the burning of the Emurim. The tefillos that we pray every single day, that we daven, are in the place of Korbonos. They are B'mkoyim Korbonos. The problem is that today, we don't have Korbonos. I mean, that's why we daven. We do not today, in our day and age, have the ability to offer sacrifices. So what do we need to do in place of bringing the sacrifices? We daven, we pray to Hashem. Our tefillos are in exchange or in place of korbanos. That's exactly like David. David was in a very difficult situation. He did a terrible avera. And halacha and the Torah does not offer him an opportunity to bring a korban. So what did he do instead? He davened. How did he daven? What were his opening words for the chet of Bathsheba? He did an avera b'mezid. He did an avera, it wasn't an accident. There's no opportunity to bring a korban, so he prayed. Hashem sefasai tiftach ufi yagiti losecha. When we come every morning to daven shacharis, really, we should be bringing this morning a korban tamid shel shachar. And in the afternoon, we should be bringing a tamid shel bein ha'arboyim. And in the evening, the fats should be burning on the mizbeach. We should bring in korbanos. But we can't. Why can't we? Because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We destroyed it. We did averos. So the next best thing that we can do is we can daven. Oh, so we are in essence behaving in a similar way to David. That's why we begin our tefillah like David with the words Hashem sefasai tiftach ufi yagiti losecha. Okay, so this I think is a very beautiful vart. Opens up why we say Hashem sefasai tiftach. Now, okay, another idea about Hashem sefasai tiftach. That is, Chazal say Hashem sefasai tiftach. They ask the question, how are we, in general, permitted to say these words? Why don't these words constitute a hefsek, a separation between, we spent a lot of time on this last week, between the words Baruch Atah Hashem, Goal Yisrael, and the opening bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Elokei Avraham Aseinu, Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak. Why don't we say that these words, the words of Hashem, Sefasai Tiftach, it should be a break, a hefsek between Geula L'tefila. The tefila begins with the Shemoneh Esher, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avraham Aseinu. And the bracha, the last bracha of the three brachas that we recite in the morning before Shemoneh Esrei is Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael. And between Goal Yisrael and Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avraham Aseinu, we are being mafsik with Hashem Sefasai Tiftach Ufi Yagiti Losecha. How is this permitted? So the answer Chazal give is, it's a tefila arichta. It's an extension of the Shemoneh Esrei. Saying Hashem Sefasai Tiftach Ufi Yagiti Losecha is an extension. Do not view this to be something that it is independent, which is inserted to be mafsik between geula and tefillah. We consider it to be an extension. That itself is a message to us. Chazal have taught us by putting this pasuk, Hashem sefasai tiftach. Every time when you daven Shemona Esrei in the Shachris, right away the question jumps in your face. It jumps in your face. What am I doing? How could I say this? I said Goali Yisrael, and now I should really say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu, and instead I'm being mafsik. The question is glaring. And what is the answer? We right away answer, oh, it's a tefillah arichta. What does that say to you? Don't daven a short Shmone Esrei. Daven a long Shmone Esrei. It's an interesting psychological message, a signal to a person. You're now being oimed lefnei hamelech. You're standing before Hashem. Take advantage. Take advantage of your audience. Don't take this lightly. You should be willing to stand here for a very long time and not to rush and get this over with and get out of shul. It's a polite message to the person. Tefillah is meant to be a serious extended visit between you and Hashem. Chazal tell us, halavai she'odom mispalel kol hayoim. Halavai. It would have been the most ideal thing if a person can pray to Hashem the entire day. To us, that sounds like no way, right? It's excessive. But Chazal say, halavai she'yispalel odom kol hayoim. When we come to the Shemoneh Esrei, we're always in a rush. Chazal politely told us, say Hashem Sifosai, it should be a tefillah arichta, signaling, spend time davening to Hashem. Don't squander this opportunity. Okay, and let's go to another idea. Okay, this is another idea about. I'm going to come back in a few moments. So Hashem Sifasai Tiftach. I want to just jump around and discuss some other things. The first bracha of Shemona Esrei begins with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu, He is our God. Ve'Elokei Avoseinu, who are our forefathers? Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Ve'Elokei Yaakov. Okay, we mention Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And then we say, Hakel, Hagadol Hagiba V'Hanero Hakel, Yav Gomel, Chasadim Tovim V'Konei Kovzo. And then we say again, V'Zoicher, Chastei Ovois. He remembers the kindness of the fathers, of our forefathers. U'mevi Goel L'Vnei V'Neim L'Man Shemoi, for his name. Be'ahava, with love. So what is our question? Why is it? This is not my vart. I saw this vart in a very good sefer. The sefer is called, it's a very good sefer. I came across, I'm right over here. Yesh Seder L'Tzvila. It's a very choshev sefer. It's a lot of numbers. Published by Feldheim. I saw this vart in the sefer. Who's the Mechaber? Mayor, I'm surprised you're not screaming at me who the Mechaber is. The Mechaber over here is Yisrael Yosef Bronstein, I don't know who he is. It's very nice things, and a lot of his amazing name means a leak, but it's a very thorough collection of ideas, and he cites there a very beautiful idea. Then let me give you some background, that it doesn't say this. We know that Chazal say that we have in Klal Yisrael Zuchus Avos, the merit of the fathers. But unfortunately, comes a point in time when the Zuchus Avos comes to an end. Tamu Zuchus Avos. There's only that much mileage you can get from your the battery in your smartphone. Right? When the battery in the smartphone runs out, blank. The phone goes dead. Did you ever drive in an electric car? I was with someone in an electric car. We were going back from Lakewood in an electric car, a Hyundai Ioniq. And the person was petrified that the battery is going to go out. And sure enough, The battery in the car ran just like a cell phone. And you know what happened? The end. Stuck on the road. To call for roadside assistance. They didn't even want to come. He had to pay privately. It was a nightmare. Why? An electric car? An electric car. This was not a Tesla. This was a knockoff, a Hyundai Ioniq. It only has a max of 150. You can charge it supposedly to 175 miles. To go to Lakewood and back shouldn't be more than 140 miles, but it's a lie. Everything in this world is a lie. Even though it says they have 175 miles, it doesn't even go 120 miles. Even when you turn off the heat and you turn off, you pull out all the plugs, and you minimize yourself with freezing cold, it still doesn't go. Somehow, it just doesn't go. The battery depletes very quickly. And when the music stops, you are out. So even though we have a principle, we have a principle of zuchus avos. There is something called zuchus avos. We have. There is a time when tamu zuchus avos. The zuchus avos comes to an end. Indeed, Chazal tells, when did this happen? Hoshea ben Be'eri. This happened at the end of the bayis, at the end of the golus of the Aseres Hashvatim. At the time of the golus of the Aseres, the last of the 20 kings of the Malchus of Yisrael, is when tamu zuchus avos. But Chazal said, don't worry, there's something called beris avos, the covenant of the avos. That never ends. And what's the difference between zuchus avos and beris avos? I don't really know. But obviously it's not the same. Zuchus avos entitles us to a much more lofty, much more significant mileage. Whereas the beris, the covenant of the avos, never expires, is weaker. Now, by the way, there's a Sfas Emes who says that even though the zuchus avos comes to an end, the zuchus imohois does not come to an end. I hope we have some women here listening. Mrs. Glatter, I hope you're here. It says over here that the zuchus of the imohois, that never ends. The zuchus avos is tam.
I heard you.
But not the zuchus imohois. That never comes to an end. Koyfeitz al ha'horim umedalek al ha'gvois, the ha'horim are the avos, the gvois are the imohois. The whole drasha, Sfas is a very beautiful drasha. Their zuchus never comes to an end of the imohois. So therefore, now that is the hakdama to this var. This var, he says something very different, which I don't really know what it means, but it's very interesting. He says there are two things: there are the avos, and there are the chaste avos. We say this every day in the Shemona Esrei. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avos Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak Elokei Yaakov. Oh, we are mentioning the avos. We're invoking their name. And what does that mean? What are we doing when we invoke their name? I don't know. We mention it. It's like, you know, the person gets in trouble with the law, and you come into the courtroom, and when you come into the courtroom, what do you say? You say, you know who I am? You know who my father is? You give over your yichus right away. Everyone gets scared, right? You just say Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Okay, whatever that means. But sometimes we're not impressed. Because you got problems. You've committed a crime. You are guilty. Don't tell me of who your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather. It's not going to help you here in court. But then you say to them, okay, but what about the chaste of us? I'm not just telling you who my father is. It's his position, that he's a powerful person in government. I'm not just telling you that, you know, he owns this country. He pays your salary. And, you know, he's a powerful person. I want to tell you about good deeds. The chaste avos. Oh, that might work. That might have a soft spot before the judge. There are tzvei dinim. There's a din in the avos and a din in the chaste avos. this idea is similar to what Chazal say. It's not the same. There's something called zichos avos, the merits of the avos, and the bris avos, the covenant of the avos. Zichos avos comes to an end. It's like credit. But the bris avos never ends. That never. What is the difference? I don't know. Whatever. That's not important. That's not our topic of discussion now. But on a similar notion, in the Shemoneh Esrei, we begin with Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu. We mention Hashem, and then we say Hashem Akel Hagadol Hagibav Hanaru Akel Yoin, and you're Gomel Chasadim Toivim. The Koni Akol. Really, we're done. That's it. We're done. And then we say to Hashem, by the way, if you're not impressed with who we come from, our stock, Hashem, it's like in a desperate statement. V'zoicher chaste avos umevi goyal levnei v'neihem l'man shemo ba'ahava. It's like a second half of the Shemoneh Esrei, the second half of the first bracha. If you're not going to do it because of who we are and where we come from, then do it, answer our prayers in the merit of the kindness. You, Hashem, you remember the chastei avos, the kindness, the good deeds of the avos. And in that merit alone, umevi, you will bring goel, a redemption, levnei v'nehem os, leman shemo, for your name. Because the good deeds that our ancestors have done, it awakens HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem says, I'll take care of you. For my sake, with love. So in essence, this idea is what it's really doing is it's taking the first blessing of the Shemoneh Esrei, and it is slicing it into two parts, a complete separation. This part A, part B. In between part A, part B, we have a break. We start off Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak v'Elokei Yaakov. We tell Hashem who we are, just a statement of fact, where we come from. And then we praise Hashem, you are Godol, Gibor, Noira, Kel Elyon, period. And that's it. Sit down and relax. And if we see that we're not getting anywhere because we got problems and we're not deserving, okay, plan B. It's now time to put into motion plan B. Hashem, you weren't impressed with our praise, how we said, God will give you Hanoira. You weren't impressed by us telling you that who we are. Okay, plan B. Hashem, remember, V'zoicher chaste avos. Umevi goel, and in that merit, that's how you're going to answer us, levnei v'neihem, leman shemo, for your own sake, in an expression of the love that you have for the avos, leman shemo b'yahava. Okay, two different parts. Okay, let's now go back. I want to go back again to Hashem Sefas Haytiv. I want to go back to them discussing the things over there. I want to make a following chiddush. Why do we say Hashem Sefas Haytiv? Why do we start the Shemoneh Esrei with the term Hashem Sefas Haytiv? So we said already today one answer. I do you one answer about David HaMelech. Last week we basically spent the whole shiur on this. Smichas Geula L'Tfila. The word sefosayim can be alluded to sheker. That was last week. I'll tell you another word. The word sefosayim alludes to chana. When we daven the Shemoneh Esrei, when we begin the Shemoneh Esrei, we begin to daven in a very unique way. We stop allowing our voice to be heard. Until this point, until we come to the Shemoneh Esrei, we're speaking, we're davening loud. Our lips are moving and words are coming out of our mouths. It's audible. We come to Shemoneh Esrei. The halacha is when you daven the Shemoneh Esrei, it's silence. It's not called the silent Shemoneh Esrei for nothing. Quiet. Your lips move and words are articulated, but it's not meant to be audible. Who is the one that invented that is the creator of this form of prayer? Chana. Chana, we read about on the first day, Rosh Hashanah, she was the first one on record to ever do this. And it seems like it was new in the world because Eli HaKoyen didn't understand what was going on. He was watching this woman come to the Beis HaMikdash, her lips were being sifoseha nois. The pasuk says her lips were nois. I already forgot the pasuk. And there was no sound heard. And Eli HaKoyen thought that she was a shikoira. She was intoxicated. She was a drunkard. Because what's this? What's she doing? And Eli HaKoyen looked at the Urim Betulim, and the Urim Betulim said, no. And it said there, the letters lit up, and he read the letters, Shikoira. And later, Chana said to Eli HaKoyen, you know, you don't know what you're doing. It's not Shikoira, it's Kisara, or Kishera. You don't know how to put the letters in order. Now that's a very important point. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. Chana said to Eli, the way I'm davening is correct. And you, who looked at the letters of the Urim V'Tumim, made a big mistake. You did not have the Siyata D'Shmaya, the Ruach HaKodesh, to know how to order the letters. You ordered these four letters, Shin, Chof, Reish, Hei. She koira, wrong. That's not the correct order. It's kishera, and Hashem is telling you that the way I pray is correct. First point, being that now we're switching gears, and we're now going to be davening the silence, the Shemoneh Esrei quietly, like Chana, we say a pasuk that begins with the word sifosayim. Hashem sifosai tiftach, because that's what it says by Chana. Sifoseha nois, the koila lo yishama. Her lips were moving, but sound was not heard. In order to remind us, to allude that now is a transition, is a change from davening audibly to davening quietly, we quote a pasuk that reminds us of Chana, because Chana, it says exactly the same words.
So why does the Shliach Tzibur repeat that? Hashem Sifosai Tiftach.
Why does the Shliach Tzibur not repeat or does repeat it? The Shliach Tzibur is supposed to say it. He's supposed to say it. Okay, it's a very good question. You're saying a very good question. I don't know the answer. Why? Because since if this is only because there are other reasons. So this is not the only reason. Okay, last week we have a whole show on this.
I like your job very good, Rabbi, but it's sort of inconsistent.
Okay, it's not a kashta. Ayin panim l'Torah. There are another 10-20 reasons why we say the pasuk Hashem sifosai tiftach. But for the silent Shemoneh Esrei, we're coming to allude to Chana, and Chana, we're shifting. We're now shifting to a different form of prayer. We have to allude to the sifosayim. Like Chana. Okay, now I want to go now to another idea to bring this out even more. The Gemara tells us why when we daven the Shemoneh Esrei, this vart really is a very good vart for Pesach. I'm going to say now, but it's also about Tefillah and it's also about Chana. What do I mean? Here it goes. The Gemara says that Shimon HaKupali, I think his name is Shimon HaKupali. Shimon HaKupali. So Gemara Masechta Brachos, he got up and he taught Rabban Gamliel the 18 blessings of the Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, he got up and he taught them the 18 blessings. Shimon HaKupali, let me read you the Gemara. Shimon HaPikuli, this is the Gemara, Reish, this is the Gemara Masechta Megillah. Okay, Daf Yud Zayin Omebeis, the Masechta Megillah. Shimon HaPikuli Histir. He arranged Seder, Histir. Shemoneh Esrei Brachos, 18 blessings Lifnei Rabban Gamliel Al HaSeder B'Yavne. The Gemara seems to indicate that he's the one that gets credit for the Nusach of the Shemoneh Esrei. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, no such thing. What are you talking about? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the Amal b'masnisa tana, it was Mea ve'eshrim, 120 zikenim uvahem kama nevim tignu shmoine eshrim brachos ala seder. What are you talking about? It was the Anshei Knesses Hagidoyla that composed the Nusach of the Shemona Eshe. So what are you telling me over here that it's Shimon HaPikuli? So the Gemara says, V'chim Ya'achar, the Mea of the Eshem, Zekeinim, Mehem, Kamen, Nevim, Tignu, Tfil, Al-Seder, Shimon HaPikuli, Ma Hister. So the Gemara says three words which are very difficult to understand. Shechochum, it was forgotten. The Chozar, the Sidrum, it was forgotten. And Shimon HaBikuli was able to, he was the only one that had a good memory. He recalled them. So in other words, what happened? The Gemara is telling us that the Anshei Knesses HaGedolah, they are the ones who composed the Nusach HaTfilah. No question about it. When was this? This was during, I guess, the tail end of the Bayis Rishon Golus. And then the Golus began, they went down for 70 years. And it appears that during that time, of the Anshei Knesses HaGedolah, they daven the Shemona Esrei, the 18 blessings, and the tzoros of Golus caused them to completely forget the Nusach HaTfilah. They remembered nothing. And then at some point in time, I don't know when he lived, this Shimon HaPikuli, and when Gamliel lived, a little later obviously, they went and he reminded everyone. He had a very good memory. He somehow had the tradition, and he recalled the exact words of the Shemona Esrei. That is the simple, bare reading of the Gemara. Many of the commentators tell us that it's very hard to accept this. That Klal Yisrael forgot how to daven the Shemona Esrei? Could it really be such a thing? So he gives over here an answer. The person who wrote the sefer, he writes over here, and there's a lot of force, and doesn't give a source. It's very disturbing. There is no source. I'll even tell you what he says over here. And he says over here, to answer this question, that the Mesorah is, maybe he does have a source. How come I can't even find it over here? And he says, Chas v'sholom to say they forgot the Nusach HaTfilah. What they forgot during the Tzoros of the Golus was the order of the 18 blessings. There are 18 blessings, but you know, people get mixed up. They didn't have anything. There was no printing press in those days. Everything was done bal peh, and people forgot the correct order, the Seder. And it was Shimon HaPikuli that reminded Rabbi Gamliel the correct order of the blessings. Okay, so there was obviously some confusion about, I don't know, whatever the confusion was, and they didn't get the Nusach, they knew what the Nusach was. They weren't sure about which bracha comes first. Maybe there was one or two blessings, maybe there were three, maybe there was more, maybe there was just a general confusion of the correct, whatever that means. And that this answer is very accurate in the words of the Gemara, because it says by the Anshei Knesses HaGedolah, it says there that they were hiskin. They established. They're the ones who established the Nusach. But Shimon HaPikuli was hisdir. Shimon HaPikuli hisdir. He arranged in order the 18 blessings, Lefer Gamliel al HaSeder. It says the word Seder twice by Shimon HaPikuli. But by the Anshei Knesses HaGedolah, it says, Tiknu, they established. That's the answer. No one ever forgot the Nusach. But they forgot the order. And Shimon HaPikuli, he's the one that reminded them of the correct order. And that is critical. It is absolutely critical that the 18 blessings of the Shemona Esrei be said in the correct order. If you say any blessing out of order, lo yotza. You have to repeat the entire Shemona Esrei. Very strict. You can say, what's the big deal? You'll think, maybe the first, as long as I say the first three blessings and then the last three blessings, so the 13 blessings in the middle, so what's the big deal if I mix them up? If I say Atochonin in the middle and I put something before, I made all of my requests. What difference does it make if I say them in the right order or not? It makes a big difference. Obviously, there's a lot more than we understand. It makes a very big difference. And if you say it out of order, the halacha and Shulchan Aruch is clear as day, lo yatsa, repeat the Shemona Esrei. They forgot the order. Shimna Pekuli went and he reminded everyone of the correct order because the order is critical. Now we can have a much greater appreciation of why we say, Hashem, Sifosai Tiftach, Ufi Yagit Yilosecha. The Sifosai reminds us of Chana. Sifoseha nois the koila lo yishama. Eli saw her lips moving. And Eli asked the Urim V'tumim, what's with this woman here? And the Urim V'tumim lit up. And Eli took the letters and he said, oh, she koira, she's intoxicated. And Chana said, excuse me, sir, kishera, not she koira, or kisara. Not Shikaira. Eli, you got the order wrong. When we dive in the Shemona Esrei, make sure you get the order right. It makes a world of a difference. The sequence of the Bakashas that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like Chana knew how to get the order right, make sure when we dive in Shemona Esrei, we get the order right. And you have to also appreciate that the Shemona Esrei comes on the heels of Baruch Atah Hashem, Goal Yisrael, redemption. And now we dive. What are we really diving? Everything in the Shemona Esrei really ultimately comes to redemption. In for the Yochin, for the Klal. The whole davening is one extension. It's like you're making a bracha on Geula. Baruch Atah Hashem, Goal Yisrael. It's a bracha levatola. You know, there's a very funny joke about a guy. You ever heard this joke? About this guy, they were killing him. They were about to kill him. They were going to kill him. Al Kiddush Hashem. It's a joke I'm telling you now. So the guy said. So they said to him, before we kill you, you're going to convert? No way. I'm not going to convert. You're crazy. I'm going to give up my life to Hashem. I'm not going to convert. Okay, we're going to kill you. But you know we're good people. Before we murder you, we'll grant you one last request. I want to make a bracha. I want to make the bracha of Kiddush Hashem. Oh, Shiloh, what bracha you make? Whatever. He makes the bracha, Mekadesh Shimcha Baram. And he goes, and he closes his eyes, like Mamish Baruch, like a real, real briska. Starts screaming. And he's screaming the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu. And he goes through the whole bracha, Mekadesh Hashimcha Barabim. And he's screaming, and the people, the executioners, were so frightened by this guy who spooked them out with his havayas, his screaming. They ran away. They were spooked out. The guy is screaming and shaking with all these kavanas. They spooked out. So the person who said the bracha, he finished the bracha, he's now expecting, bang! Nothing happens. He opens up his eyes and he goes, Nunu, hefsik! It's a hefsik! You gotta kill me right away! You gotta kill me, it's a hefsik! I made the bracha! Nunu! Do it right away! I don't want my bracha to be a bracha levatola! Gotta kill me immediately. Okay, so this is okay. So this is a joke. But when the person that makes the Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael, you're making a bracha on Geula. So Nunu, what is the bracha being chal upon? On the Shemona Esrei. Oh, the Shemona Esrei. That's the magic code. The sequence to bring the geula, you better say it in the right order. Because if you don't say the magic code in the right order, then the geula is not going to come. Remember Chana. Chana said, Sifaseha, her lips were moving, and nothing was coming out. And Eli made a mistake about the Seder, and that could have led to a Chorban. And Chana had to say, no. Make sure you get the order right. When it comes to the geula, you get the order right. I told you this ties into the Pesach Seder. What is the Lel Seder all about? Seder. It's called Seder. Because the Seder, in order, the whole Lel Pesach is all, in essence, a tefillah to bring the ultimate geula, Maaseh Avos Simon Labanim. What happened at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim was just a template for the ultimate geula. We are invoking the code of redemption. And the code of redemption must be in perfect sequence. Seder. Just like when we make a bracha in the morning, Baruch Atah Hashem, Goal Yisrael, and then we have 18 blessings, and Shimon HaPikuli, Hister Al HaSeder, he made sure they said in the right sequence. And we remind ourselves of that with Hashem Sefosai Tiftach, the word Sefosai, Sefoseha Nois, Chana Seder. When we do the ultimate code, invoke the ultimate code to bring the Geula in times of Mashiach, it has to be Al HaSeder. There's a sequence. Seder is everything. Now, one more last vart. This far, we really spent a lot of time on, but we out of time. We only have 1 minute left, so I'm going to do very, very quick. It's very interesting that when you daven the Shemoneh Esrei, what should your attitude be? Who are you? When you daven the Shemoneh Esrei, are you a child before Hashem? Are you a slave? Avinu Malkeinu. What should your attitude be? Should you put yourself in the frame of mind, I'm a child? Should you put yourself in the frame of mind, I'm a servant? Maybe you should make believe you're an angel, you're a malach. Maybe you should make believe you are a navi, a prophet. Maybe you should make believe you're just a regular Joe, like Joe Biden. You're just the average Joe. You're just a regular guy. You're an Adam. So let's make the following observation. When we daven the Shemoneh Esrei, the halacha demands we put our feet together. Why? Why do you put your feet together? To resemble a malach. A malach has only one foot, a regel yeshara. We put our feet together to be like a malach. On the other hand, what do? When we start the Shemoneh Esrei, we bend. Baruch Atah Hashem, you bend your knees. We learned not so long ago in Zechariah about Malachim. Malachim, it's a fairish in the Pasuk. We learned the Pasuk with all the Mefarshim. We learned over there. We learned not so long ago. Malachim do not have knees. They have no birkayim. So when you bend down, you're an Adam, you're a man, you're a human being. Your legs are connected to each other on the bottom like a malach. But yet, you're bending your knees. When you do the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, you have to bend, that's the halacha. You just can't bend flat like by modim. There you go down in one shot, you don't bend your knees. But Baruch Atah Hashem, you're supposed to bend your knees. Malachim don't have knees. So how could that be? It says in Shulchan Aruch, this is Shulchan Aruch, we don't do this today, but you're supposed to put your right hand over your left hand on your heart. You put your left hand on your heart and put your right hand over your left hand. The Midas HaRachamim should prevail over the Midas HaDin. You put your hand over your heart, and it says in Shulchan Aruch, like an Eved Lifnei Rabbi. Those are the words of Shulchan Aruch, the code of Jewish law. When you stand Shemoneh Esrei, you stand like a slave before his master. When we begin the Shemoneh Esrei, who are we invoking? The Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That creates a theme of children. We're coming to Hashem, we're children. We have parents. We have Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Magen Avraham, Zerchas, the Avos. So it creates an impression that Hashem, you also are a father. So look at this. We're all mixed up. You daven the Shemoneh Esrei. On the one hand, you're a malach. your legs are together, you're an Adam. Or I left out one more thing. I left out Chana. Chana is, it says the Feresh in Chazal that when you dive in the Shemona Esher, you have to quiet. It's not audible. Because if it's audible, it says in the Gemara, it's like the Miketane Amona. When you pray to Hashem, your voice is audible, it means you lack faith. You're like the Nevi'e Sheker. You're like a Novi Sheker. The Nevi'e Sheker, they would scream. People should listen, they would scream. The Nevi'e, which implies that when you don't scream, you're like a Novi Emes. The words of the Gemara, if you're going to make your tefillah audible, you're a Novi Sheker. Because the Nevi'e Sheker, they would scream. So keep it quiet. Then you'll be like the Nevi'e Emes. Look what's going on over here. Mitzad Echad, you're a Navi. Okay, being quiet is like a Navi Emes. Mitzad Sheni, you're a Malach. Your legs are together. Mitzad Shlishi, you're an Adam. I'm bending my knees. I'm a human being. The next, I'm like a slave. Shulchanach, right hand over your left hand, like an Eved Bifnei Rabbi. And then the last one was, say, number six. I'm not a count. The last one was, you are a child. Avraham, Yitzchak. So what are you? There are multiple dimensions coming together, synthesizing in who you are. Who are you? Are you a human being? Are you a malach? Are you a Navi? Are you a child? Are you a slave? Who are you? Mihu Zevi Ezehu. Ask the guy next to you. You're all mixed up. You're putting your feet together like a malach. You're bending your knees like a human being. You've been quiet like a Navi MS. You're putting your hand over your heart like a slave. And you're talking to Hashem like a child before his father. You're all mixed up. Who are you? Obviously, it's everything together. That's the potency of tefillah. It's everything together. And if you want, you can play around with this. I leave it to you to figure this out. But there are many parts of davening. The first three blessings is shevach, praise, like a malach. A malach sings shir. The last three blessings are hoidah, thank you. A child gives thanks to a parent. Child. The 13 middle blessings, you're a slave. You're begging. Ka'oni ba'pesach, you're a slave. Like a slave. Hashem, help us. The 13 middle blessings. The chazoras hashatz, I want to suggest, is the Navi. You have one person representing everyone. It's like a Navi speaking to the people. It's like a Navi, a prophet. And what about the Adam? Where's the Adam? The Adam represents the Tfilah B'Tzibur. The fact that we don't daven as individuals, we daven together. There's no singular word. Adam is the collective noun. Adam means mankind. And it means man. Enosh, there's an Ish, and there's an Enosh. Ish means a single man, Enosh means many men. We daven Adam. We all, human beings can only accomplish something when they come together. The element of Tefillah B'Tzibur is the element that's unique to man. Man is ma'achid, to come together to achieve. All of these dimensions, these dimensions represent different elements in the Koyach HaTfil. Again, so the first three blessings represent the element of the Malach. The last three blessings represent a child who gives thanks to his parents. The middle 13 blessings is like a slave begging for help. The Chazar Sashatz, the Shliach Tzibu, when he reads and we all listen, that's the Tzur of a Navi. And the fact that we're doing this as a minyan with 10 people, this represents Adam. We have knees. We are mankind. mankind, Adam, is the word which is koilel all of the individuals. There's no singular. It's a singular and it's a plural. It's a very unusual word. You don't have most words in the Tanakh. There's Lashon Yachid, Lashon Ravim. The word Adam means Adam, the first man, and it means mankind. It's the concept of Tefillah B'Tzibur. All of these elements come together when we come Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, Rabbis, I have a wonderful evening. Thank you for coming and learning with me. All the best to everyone. Zay Gesund.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Good Shabbos.